What draws us to stories that dance on the edge of morality? In the shadowy world of I Will Break You, we meet Amethyst Crowley, a woman living a carefully controlled existence haunted by spectrophobia and hallucinations managed through heavy medication. Her fragile reality shatters when an online troll breaks into her home, forcing her to kill in self-defense. This violent act coincides with the execution of Zero Greaves, the infamous Angel of Death serial killer with whom she's formed an intense connection through letters and calls. As Amethyst disposes of her attacker's body, she's followed by what appears to be the Angel of Death himself, a spectral figure with glowing white eyes. Her perception of reality continues to fracture as objects move mysteriously, she glimpses hooded figures in her yard, and most disturbingly, receives impossible text messages from Zero's phone despite his confirmed execution. Is she hallucinating, or is something more sinister at play? The line between reality and delusion blurs, creating a disorienting experience that mirrors Amethyst's own fractured mind. The heart of the story unfolds through letters between Amethyst and Zero, revealing their evolving relationship. Unlike other admirers drawn to the high-profile inmate, Amethyst establishes a deeper connection by sharing her troubled past. Zero reciprocates, describing his childhood trauma, separation from a caring aunt, placement with an unwelcoming stepfamily, and eventual recruitment into a clandestine organization called the Morai. Their correspondence intensifies through increasingly intimate exchanges. They develop an elaborate agreement detailing their relationship parameters, including specific psychological elements that later become significant. What begins as curiosity transforms into obsession, demonstrating how isolation can lead to vulnerability, particularly when connection forms around shared trauma. Haven't we all at some point revealed too much of ourselves to someone who seemed to truly understand us? The letters serve as a warning about the dangers of emotional intimacy developed under complex psychological circumstances. How easily we can be manipulated when we're desperate to be seen. Amethyst's reality fractures as she experiences terrifying encounters with what she believes is Zero's ghost. She wakes to find him standing over her with glowing eyes, and despite being restrained by invisible bonds, she submits when he demands it, still craving his approval. These encounters always end with her losing consciousness after experiencing unwanted arousal. When she reports mysterious texts and disappearing evidence to police, they offer only increased patrols. Desperate, she joins a séance where knocks respond in Morse code with disturbing messages supposedly from Zero. During episodes of sleep paralysis, she feels eerily real caresses despite being unable to move. The novel's shocking twist arrives when intruders attempt to assault her in her home. As she screams for Zero, he emerges from under the stairs, alive, wielding an executioner's axe. The ghost was real. Zero had escaped execution by having his imprisoned brother take his place and has been stalking Amethyst, manipulating her perception of reality as revenge for perceived betrayals. After revealing himself, Zero proposes a twisted game. If Amethyst can reach her house before he catches her, she'll earn her freedom. Despite her desperate flight, he intercepts her and forces himself upon her in the cemetery. In this moment of terror and unwanted pleasure, Amethyst realizes his obsession isn't about destruction, but a twisted form of love. In a world where she felt invisible, Zero saw her completely. The dynamic shifts when Zero reveals someone is trying to kill Amethyst. Four masked men break into her house, and Zero protects her. Through brutal interrogation, they learn the men work for Excite Media making snuff films, and someone called Delta wants to stage Amethyst execution in a replica electric chair. Zero becomes both captor and protector, keeping Amethyst prisoner while training her to defend herself. He teaches her to escape restraints, break handcuffs, and fight attackers. Though his methods are abusive, they're effective. She learns quickly, suggesting previous training she doesn't remember. Zero's investigation reveals shocking connections. His father, Dalton Greaves, Delta, runs Excite Media and is married to Maloney Crowley Amethyst's mother. This explains Maloney's efforts to keep Amethyst sedated and dependent, hiding her family history. Evidence indicates Amethyst's father ran an international adoption agency that Dalton likely used to recruit children for his specialized training program. Amethyst finds Zero's surveillance center beneath her home, containing disturbing records of childhood medical procedures. Dr. Saint had prescribed medication to suppress Amethyst's memories following an altercation where two people disappeared, the same weekend she arrived at her current address. These revelations force her to question everything. Was she in the same program as Zero? Were her defensive reactions against recent attackers linked to past incidents? Who is she, really? How many of us carry fragments of memories we can't fully reconstruct? Amethyst's journey suggests what we've forgotten might be more significant than what we remember. Just as Amethyst begins to trust Zero despite his abuse, she discovers damning evidence, footage showing her unconscious while he allowed multiple men to assault her. When confronted, he dismisses her concerns as merely the somnophilia kink she'd consented to in their contract. Enraged, she attacks him and knocks him unconscious with chemicals. Realizing she must kill him or face worse punishment, she sets his room ablaze before escaping through hidden passages. Her flight leads her to a deranged fan who locks her in a camera-filled room, intending to film her death. Using skills Zero taught her, she escapes and drives to her mother's home. Inside, horror awaits. Her mother lies dead in a pool of blood. Before she can process this, her uncle appears, warns her to flee, and is shot dead. She turns to face her attacker, a woman with her exact face but with blonde hair on one side, the monster from her mirror hallucinations made real. "I've been waiting for you," she says, raising her gun. This cliffhanger leaves us wondering about the doppelganger's identity, Zero's fate, and sets up the sequel. This story explores how trauma shapes identity and creates unhealthy attractions. Both protagonists emerge from severe childhood trauma. Zero molded into an assassin, Amethyst's past concealed through induced amnesia. Their connection forms around this shared brokenness, each recognizing a kindred darkness in the other. Zero's desire to break Amethyst stems from his own broken nature. He can only love by destroying and rebuilding in his image. Despite her conscious fear and revulsion, Amethyst's body responds to his dominance, suggesting a deeper alignment with his worldview than she acknowledges. The title works on multiple levels, referring to Zero's intention to break Amethyst, but also to how society has already broken both characters. It suggests that breaking sometimes precedes necessary rebuilding, and that being broken by someone who understands your darkness might be preferable to being fixed by a society that denies it.